This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. This is episode number 147, and my name is Derek Gallimore. So today we are joined by Tiffany Botel of Property Management Virtual Assistant. Tiffany is undoubtedly an expert within the property management sphere, specifically in Australia, but also in the UK. And she scratched her own itch by building a virtual assistant team that can help within the property management sector. So it's a really interesting conversation. We talk more broadly with Tiffany about property management services and about specialized BPOs, and also because she is relatively new to outsourcing, but very experienced in property management services, which is her professional niche. It's an interesting perspective in terms of these outsourcing service providers, something that I certainly enjoyed, and I'm sure you can learn things too. So if you want to get in touch with Tiffany or know any more about Property Management Virtual Assistant, then go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/147. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today we have Tiffany Botel on the line. Hi, Tiffany, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. And you are the founder and CEO of Property Management Virtual Assistant, or PMVA for short, and that is largely based in Clark, and you are in Sydney, Australia. So really happy to have you on board today and explore your journey. So I suppose initially, do you just want to introduce yourself and how you came to be running a outsourcing operation in Clark?
Sure. We were originally a training and coaching company where we were delivering services to our, or best practice and coaching services to our property management clients in Australia. And ultimately they were looking for that they had, you know, some core problems and issues that they were having from a administration perspective, and outsourcing seemed to be a great vehicle to resolve those problems that they were having, or challenges. And as industry trainers, we kind of stepped in and took over the training component of outsourcing in the Philippines, so that the clients who were time poor didn't have to put all their energy into, training up and upskilling the skills of their outsource workers. So that was, you know, what we were doing for a living here in Australia, and we just extended that to make it more global. Yeah.
Fantastic. And so you've had a personal journey. You have worked, is it 30 years in property management in Australia? And I assume as you've seen that industry develop, there's a huge amount of paperwork. There's complexity in terms of managing properties efficiently. And you have seen that industry really grow in sophistication, but also kind of hassle factor. And then what was it that led you to really scratch your own itch with outsourcing and look further afield for staffing solutions?
I've definitely seen a lot of changes over my time in property management. It's a global thing, but when I started, we used to type tenancy agreements on a typewriter with some carbon paper in between.
Wow.
But that's how most offices were in those days. And, with technology, that's definitely helped a lot of businesses. But I do feel that from a service-based industry, you can still only go so far with tech, and, we'll tech take over. I don't know. That's probably another conversation to have at some point. But technology has probably been the biggest impact on the real estate sector. And I do sort of feel now outsourcing has now, become that next layer of that in terms of productivity and efficiency around a heavily admin heavy industry. So my own journey to outsourcing happened with my own business. So, as a small business and as a small business owner, you put on a couple of employees, and you want to get the most out of the employees that you're hiring as a small business. and administration was one of those non-dollar producing activities. And so we looked to outsourcing to assist us in the training company, to create training manuals and to create, you know, PowerPoint presentations for our training days with our clients here in Australia. Mm-hmm. And it really worked for us. And so when clients came to us asking to stretch that across to their services, it was actually pretty easy to put together. Yeah.
Fantastic. And so was there initial, you know, did you, I'm really interested in the beginning journey because I'm trying to encourage as many SMEs to consider outsourcing. And I suppose the initial difficulty with getting people on the outsourcing journey is the just the uncertainty of it all. You know, it's a foreign country, it's a foreign culture slightly. They aren't aware of like real estate requirements, for example. You seemed immune to a lot of these concerns or hurdles, or did you just jump in? And what was your initial, I suppose, impression compared to your initial concerns or thoughts?
Yeah, I think I probably just jumped in without too many concerns, only because I knew the product. So I knew what we were teaching and I knew what we were going to be delivering. And the spirit of the Filipino workforce was probably the most attractive component to marrying what we did technically to executing from a worker perspective. So for me, that was the marriage. It was the attitude and the likability of the Filipino workforce and their can-do attitude, which was really attractive. And so that made it quite easy for us to integrate what we were doing into, from a local business to a global business. But, you know, I guess it's from somebody's eyes who's doing it for the very first time and they haven't been exposed, you know. I lived in London for 3 years as a property manager and I travelled through Southeast Asia. So I had a pretty good idea of what culturally that felt like as a tourist. And so it wasn't a big stretch for me, but I could imagine if you haven't travelled to some of the Asian countries before or experienced that, it's going to be a little bit overwhelming. But I also do think that the changes in the BPO industry are really making it a lot easier for people to bridge the gap between their fears and the reality of it actually working within their small business to create the results that they're looking for. It's just getting easier and easier, and the tech is getting better and better so that you can literally click a button and have a chat while you're driving your car about, you know, technical things, which I do all the time. I have hands free, which is good. but, you know, as the tech gets better and as outsourcing becomes more predominant on a worldwide scale, I think, you know, that there's not really a lot to fear these days. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that is interesting. That intrigues me because I often say that there's kind of barriers to entry into people trying outsourcing because if they approach a BPO, very commonly it's $100,000 conversation in that ideally a BPO would like a 1 to 2 year contract for, you know, a couple of seats minimum. And very quickly that starts to look a bit of a kind of scary commitment. What you were saying, BPOs are making it easier and easier. Where do you see the kind of the easier on ramps? Because I'm trying to encourage a lot of engagement with outsourcing and I agree that the easiest thing to do or the best way of approaching it is to just make it easy to explore and have a go at it. You see that BPOs are making things easier?
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to, you know, because there's a couple of things, you've got to make your decision on whether you want to outsource first of all, and then you've got to make the outsourcing arrangement work. So your expectations have got to be, you know, like any venture, if you're going to hire somebody offshore or local, who's not trained in specifics to what you need them to do, you've got to allow the employee to have time to assimilate the learning. So, you know, that you've got to have the right kind of expectation that it's not going to just turn it on overnight and it's going to be fabulous for you. Mm-hmm. So it does require somebody sitting in the driver's seat for it to actually work from an execution perspective. But I think with, you know, the likes of, you know, great websites and social media, you know, live broadcasts that you can do via your Facebook page, transparency becomes more and more of a key role in the integration with outsourcing when you're making the decision. You see, if you can follow somebody on social media who's Instagramming or Facebooking or live broadcasting from behind the scenes, I think that really makes a big difference when the end client is looking at an outsourcing arrangement, because with the transparency through those platforms, the client can really start to get a sense of who the company is that they're going to be giving that responsibility to.
And it just sort of builds that familiarity, doesn't it? And that's one of the key aspects to, all business is done through relationships and trust and networks. And, I've been on your website and on the homepage, you've got a really cool video and it is just that. It just shows the personality. It shows, the people behind the scenes, and it builds that familiarity, doesn't it? Which I think is one of the biggest hurdles to people starting this.
Oh, exactly. Look, trust is everything. When you're running a company in one country and you've got workers in another country, the key thing that keeps those two together is the trust. And if I give you my information or my client's database or, financial data about my company, is it going to be safe? And that's what people are really interested in. And, with the technology, allowing that initial conversations to happen where the clients can do their research. I think, part of the process when we onboard clients is, it's not a one conversation thing and they sign up with us. It happens to be multiple conversations, and part of that is doing due diligence. If, somebody's looking at wanting to outsource with us and they haven't done any research whatsoever, I typically won't say yes straight away. I'll be like, no, go and do some due diligence. Go and find out what else is out there. Go and do your homework so that when you do come on board, you've made your right decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is really, there's an aspect of them and us, isn't there? And I think sort of humans are like that. They get a little bit tribal, and anything them and us, it becomes a concern. But, if there's any big company with 1,000 staff, for example, there's an aspect of them and us within any company, isn't there? Like the accounts department might not agree with the marketing department. And I think this is just a similar but different case of them and us. And when people start outsourcing and then they maybe come and visit their team, they realize actually, we're all just people. We're all just engaged with the mission, and we're all just trying to get on with the job. And we all need a bit of attention and training and, things like that. It's just like another department, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with any change management. When you're introducing something new into any company, there is going to be that's part of the human behavior and part of the change management, is that you do come across those things. But I do find that, that there's not so much separation once the arrangement actually begins, and that initial onboarding turns into consolidating, and everybody understands how it works. The human brain's constantly, or sometimes I call it the human ego, is constantly saying, how is it here? How is it? And that's what we want to know. We want orientation as human beings, and outsourcing is just one of those things. It's about how is it? How does it work? What does it look like? So, unless you can answer those questions or show transparency, it makes it very difficult for people to trust, because that's the human nature, is to work out, how is it here? What is the orientation?
Absolutely. And so you have a very broad and deep experience in property management services, which is a specialism, and you have brought that over to the Philippines. You have trained people in Australia, but how do you compare training and upskilling people in the Philippines versus what you would be doing in Australia? Are there some key differences, or is it all pretty similar?
I have to say it's almost exactly the same. I haven't found too much in terms of the differences. The foundation of any training comes with the student wanting to empty their cup at the door as they arrive into the learning environment, and it's all about whether people are open to the learning. But in terms of the actual content or technicalities around transferring that information from what we know to what we need to teach, it's just adding some extra layers and depth. So we understand, if we're training in Australia, we can shortcut a few of the for granted things, like for example, in real estate, they deal with still with some postage. And in Australia, we have what they call a PO box. And everyone in Australia understands that, you know, that's where the mail goes. But in the Philippines, you know, they don't know what that is. So there's always, whenever we're delivering content training, there's always layers to that content that is more specific exactly to, you know, our PO box. But what is a PO box? Well, let's explain that. You know, same with water meter readings. What's a water meter reading? What's a water meter? So there are layers to things when we do the training that are just more looking at it from a tourist perspective, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, when people are just within their own clique and their own niche, it's amazing what people take for granted, and just that kind of background knowledge, background awareness, background understanding, isn't it? And I think for outsourcing, and for anyone that's beginning outsourcing, it's really important to spend time with your new team and just kind of infill them on all of those aspects that you take for granted.
Yeah, I think that's what we do when we help our clients come on board, is we shortcut all of that for the client, so the client doesn't have to sit there and deal with, you know, this is how an Australian phone number is typically written, you know, 3 digits with a space and then 4 digits with a space. It's kind of taken for granted. But if you're coming from another country, that stuff's important when you're putting data entry into a file. And it's the things that the clients, I mean, they don't even see what we do behind the scenes a lot of the time, that are those small nuances specific to what we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the value, isn't it, of like property management virtual assistant, because it's you're effectively paying an hourly rate for someone, but they don't just get that someone, they get all of the infrastructure and the training and the environment of your organization that really makes them specialize within that area.
Yeah, I mean, even though they pay for a dedicated person to work on their account or multiple, they also get the team. So they get, they get access to our training team. They get access to our Australian account managers and Australian training team. They have typically for the first 3 months what we call, I haven't got a fancy name for it, but it's a hand holder who sits next to them and makes sure that they know how to click on what they need to click and are there for any questions that they have, and someone who just shadows them for their first sort of 3 to 4 months that they're in the business, team leaders and so on. We have a very large coaching culture where our team members, you know, sit and have coaching sessions every week with their team, and, you know, all of that just comes as part of the whole package for us in order to just do a great job.
Fantastic. Interesting. So I want to get you back and we can deep dive into Property Management Virtual Assistant and exactly what it offers and what it does. But in the meantime, Tiffany, if people want to get in touch with you or learn more about your company, how can they do that?
So our website is just pmva.com.au, or short for Property Management Virtual Assistant.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, that was Tiffany Botel of Property Management Virtual Assistant. So if you want to get in touch with Tiffany or know any more, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/147. And of course, if you want to email us or ask us anything, then just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.